All right, another very good series for the Padres. They take 2 of 3 from Boston. They do lose on Sunday, but they take 2 of 3. They've won 9 of 11. They're well over 500. They're in good positioning here, heading to Texas. They'll have a day off on Monday. So make your way in Sunday night edition of the wrap-up show. We are approaching 6,500 subscribers because of you. So if you're here live or on replay, if you wouldn't mind subscribing, I think we're something like 48 subscribers away from 6,500. So please subscribe. We have year-round content for Padres fans for you. We are the home of Real Padres Talk. Please smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We appreciate all the super chats. Great way to support our work. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. You can become a member by clicking the join button down below. Big offensive performances on Friday and Saturday. We talked about it, Jim, on Friday night. They followed up with another huge game Saturday. A couple of home runs for Manny Machado. Today was weird. I mean, they had chances all day long. Lead off base runners in 5 consecutive innings, but only scored one time. Matt Waldron, for the first time in forever, allowed more than 2 runs. He allowed 4, including a couple of home runs in the Padres' fall on Sunday. But I'd say, you know, all things considered, 2 out of 3 in Boston, heading for Arlington, winners of 9 of 11 is about as much as you could ask for probably right now if you're a Padres fan.
Taking 2 of 3 in Boston, you're not going to complain about that at all, even though you lost today 4-1. The first 2 games of this series were special. I mean, they were like the perfect games, offensive explosions, play everybody up and down the lineup producing. Jackson Merrill, he went 7 for 13 in this series. He went 3 for 3 today with a double. He's not in the MVP discussion, even though you might hear some like crazy people to say that. But he's definitely
in the rookie of the year discussion, at least.
He's in the rookie of the year discussion. Don't let anybody tell you he should be in the MVP discussion. That's just they just don't know they're talking about, and they're trying to get engagements. But anyway, everything about the series was good except for today. And today wasn't like the worst thing in the world. Boston's a good team. Well, they've played better of late, and you take 2 and 3 in Boston. You have an off day tomorrow in Texas. You move on. You've won 9 of 11. There's no complaining here. You know, just don't let this thing kind of slip away from you on this road trip where you have an amazing start to the road trip where you're scoring at will. You have a little bit of a letdown game, okay, but don't go into Texas, lose 2 of 3 and wasting an opportunity to have, you know, a winning road trip here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're not going to win every series they play, but the way they're playing right now, it leads you to believe they're going to be in every series they play. And offensively, it is ridiculous the way they're playing. I mean, even today, you consider the circumstances. It's raining. There's lightning. It was weird. You had opportunities. They left base runners on. They didn't hit with men in scoring position, although they did the previous 2 days. I mean, they made Fenway look like a little league park the first 2 days. They really did. I mean, they got the ball in the air. Machado had a 2-home run game. We said, when will Manny Machado have a 2-home run game? He has done it, and he did it emphatically at Fenway, where he spent so much time, obviously, playing for the Orioles against the Red Sox. So you had that. You had Merrill with home runs in consecutive games. Even today, Merrill hit a ball off the monster.
Yeah.
And like you said, went 3 for 3 and is having as good of a June. I mean, his June was incredible. Like, he might be up for National League Player of the Month in June, based on what he did this month. But the thing with, listen, Waldron grew up a Red Sox and Tim Wakefield fan, and you wonder if there was any like nerves in there.
Probably.
He allowed a 2-run home run in the first to Devers. Okay, you can live with it. I mean, Devers is such a good power hitter. He gave up kind of a cheapie, I think, to Duran. It was just over the wall and right at one point. The other run scored on a pass ball or wild pitch. It was a wild pitch. It was off the mid, I think, of the catcher. So just one of those days. I looked it up in Kevin Acey's recap today. Like, he had been so good, like 9 or 10 consecutive starts without allowing more than 2 runs, and had a sub-2 ERA in his last 9 or 10 starts. I mean, this guy's been so good. So he's human, like they all are. The guy yesterday that the Padres beat up had like a 2 ERA. So he's a human. He didn't allow 10 runs. He allowed 4 runs in 4 1/3 or 4 2/3 innings, but that'll happen. This offense though, Jim, I thought they were going to come back all day long. I really did. I'm like, yeah, it's 2 runs. Oh, it's 3 runs. I thought they were going to come back. They had chances. They just didn't capitalize.
Yeah. It just felt like this team was going to put up like 8-9 runs again. It just, I don't know. It's just the way that they've been on offense the last week plus here, dating back to their start of the homestand versus the Brewers last week. Like, and they've been incredible offensively. Manny Machado is officially back. He's officially hot. Welcome to the 2024 season, Manny Machado. That's awesome. That is a great sign for the Padres heading into a July where everything sets up for them perfectly not like who they're playing standpoint, but from a like how many days they have off standpoint, and also dealing with some injury standpoint, and going into the month playing really good baseball. But I thought Waldron today, I mean, you got to remember, John, like Matt Waldron, this is the most innings he's ever pitched in his entire big league career, which is right now at the big league level.
Now, I don't think about innings with guys that throw half their pitches off speed or like knuckleballs. Like, it's such a nuanced pitch that I'm not going to worry about his innings. I'm just going to worry about if the pitch knuckles or not.
That's another thing too that is scary for a knuckleball pitcher. Like, Matt Waldron's been fantastic this year after his bad, first five starts of the season. But it is weird, and it's not weird. It's hard to like always rely on a knuckleballer because you just never know where their knuckleball's going.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's just a difficult like to fully rely on it. But when it's going and when he's got it, like it's impossible to hit, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this was just kind of one of those like little bumps in the road start for him. And like you said, Boston, the Tim Wakefield thing, which he got pretty emotional with after the game. Mm-hmm. I would hope that it's just like a one start thing and he gets back to pitching like he has been the last month and a half plus.
Last 37 games for Machado, he's hit 327. I think I have that right. It was 328 into today. He was 1-for-4. His OPS is something like 830. Mm-hmm. So he's hot. Again, there have been stretches. Kevin wrote about it today in his newsletter. There have been stretches, 30-game stretches, where he's hit for more power than he has right now because he's hit, I think, just three home runs in his last 36 games. And that includes two yesterday. But, I mean, this guy is hitting. He might not be fully hitting for power. He has been recently, if you've been watching, like Saturday. Mm-hmm. But he's hitting, right? I mean, every single night, apparently, you look up, he's got a hit, if not more than that. He's confident. And ever since that night in Philadelphia, which is now going back 11 games, because they're 9-2, and he said, I'll blow my effing elbow out to figure this out. Well, he didn't have to blow his effing elbow out to figure it out, because over those 11 games, he has been scorching hot. I think Kevin wrote it today. I think it was a 400 hitter in the 10 games coming in to today where he was 1-for-4. So, and also, by the way, it's coinciding with 9-2. Mm-hmm. So Manny's red hot, and they were 9-1 heading into this.
Isn't that interesting? What have we been saying on the show for like ever? As Manny goes, usually the team goes.
That has been said a lot.
Like, it just feels like whenever Manny is looked upon to be the guy and he goes out there and he performs, it feels like everybody around him performs as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the mood in that clubhouse is great when Manny Machado is rolling. When he is struggling, probably not a pleasant clubhouse to be in at many days, because you don't want to be going talking to a ice cold Manny Machado. You want to be hanging out with a red hot Manny Machado. You want to be, taking BP with a Manny Machado that's hit in what, 12 or how many games has he hit in a row?
Machado, or there was a game he was 0 for recently, wasn't there? Yeah, there was a game June 22nd he was 0 for. So he's hit in seven straight.
And
oh, yeah. You know what? You're right.
12 of his last 14.
Yeah, that's not, by the way, then he's hit five home runs in his last 30 whatever games.
So he's hitting seven straight, 12 of his last 14 games he's had a hit in. He's had multiple hits in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of those 16 games. When Manny goes, this team goes. And this was a great time for Manny Machado to show up and get hot, because of the injuries they've had with Tatis going down and with Bogarts going down. It just couldn't have happened at a better time. Hopefully this now continues through July, because watching a red hot Manny Machado at the plate, there's not many things better to watch in baseball than that. I mean, that's to watch Manny Machado just go up there and impose his will and have games like he did this weekend in Boston and have the two home run game and just explode and just a guy that you can't get out. And everyone hates Manny Machado in the first place already. So it makes it even worse when you can't get the guy that you hate the most out at all. And he's just killing your team. That Manny Machado is the most fun to watch. It just is.
Especially yesterday where he hits the two home runs. I mean, it's a laugher, obviously. Merrill hits a home run as a left-handed hitter against Houck, the first home run he's allowed all year to a lefty. I mean, that's how dialed in Jackson Merrill is. I mean, Merrill's been unbelievable. Machado's been great. I think Merrill's truly been unbelievable and actually is in the Rookie of the Year conversation. Yes, Paul Skenes will win it if they let him pitch out the remainder of the season and he stays healthy.
Right.
But they may not. As a first-year professional, essentially, and depending on what goes on with Pittsburgh, I mean, if he's shut down at some point, I think I looked it up recently, there's not a lot of Rookie of the Years that have been pitchers in recent baseball history. So it's usually position player over pitcher, not always, but often. So it's not outside the realm because Merrill has been so good. So if he keeps playing like this, maybe he'll put some pressure on Paul Skenes. Let's get to the first super of the night. Thank you, HBBBVPPPPPPJJJJJ. For the super, he says, Giants giveaway against the Doyers was Mickey Mouse hats. Was that actually the giveaway today or this weekend? I know that was discussed in the offseason, so that was this weekend?
Yeah, it was chef's kiss. If any Dodger fan has a problem with that, shut the fuck up. I mean...
What day was that?
That was today.
That was today, okay.
That was today.
Because I know yesterday Dodgers scored 7 runs in the 10th.
Right.
Before that was recorded for the first time like in baseball history, someone doing that in the 10th inning or later.
But they lost the series to the Giants, and the Giants...
I know, they haven't been... I mean...
They're still 7 games up or 6 games up on the Padres.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's in the second half of the year from San Diego's perspective. If you would have told me that heading into the year, I'd be like, okay, that's not crazy. 7.5. It's a good number. But and this was supposed to be a historically good Dodger team. They're 52-33. That's a 6-12 winning percentage. That's not historically good winning percentage. It's just a very... good team. They're on pace. A 600 winning percentage wins. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. 612 times 162. But they're not historically. They're not on some historic pace this year. I'll tell you that.
I thought I saw that they were still on pace to win either close to or over 100 games.
Well, that's not a surprise. They're on pace to win 99 games as of today.
Still, I mean, that'd be the most wins in Padres franchise history. And for the Dodgers, it's like,
Okay, to that point, though, so... Just to the Dodgers have won 100 or more games for 4 consecutive full seasons, 5 of 6. They've won 100 or more in 5 of the last 6 full seasons. So 99 by their standards, or even 100, is not some historic season. Now, it's going to be all predicated on the postseason. Do the Dodgers win? Do the Padres win? Do the Phillies win? Whatever happens in the postseason, this has become March Madness, this sport. I'm telling you, nobody cares if the Dodgers win 111 games if they lose in the postseason. And nobody cares if the Padres win 84 games if they win the World Series. No one cares. So it's all going to be predicated on the postseason. Now, from San Diego's perspective, you have to get there. From LA's perspective, you have to win the World Series. It's as simple as that. So that's what this is. Now, can the Padres still win this division? I'm not holding my breath.
I'm not even thinking about that, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that. But we can talk about it if they win 9 of their next 11. Mm-hmm. Carlos, appreciate you, man. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for hanging out, and thank you for the super chat. He says he needed a freaking sweep. Too many double plays today. Yeah, they grounded into at least 2 of them. They had leadoff base runners in 5 consecutive innings, had a couple of double plays, had some men at second base that they didn't convert on. I know Ha-Seong Kim had an RBI today. Yesterday, Ha-Seong Kim had a couple of hits as well, but... With base runners, you're going to ground into double plays. Luis Arraez, I think, early in this game, grounded into a double play. I got no issues with it, right, guys? I mean, 2 out of 3 in the road. 2 out of 3 anytime. I'm going to preach the Mike Schilt line. Just win series, especially when you're playing good like they are right now. Mm-hmm. You win series, it's hard to complain about that, especially on the road.
Well, the thing is, you need to have at least one. It feels like you need to have a stretch where you maybe sweep, take 3 or 4, mm-hmm. right? Take 2 or 3, and that's what they've done. Like, you need to have, like, the 9-1 stretch, which we were all just, like, begging for them to have. They finally had it.
Yeah.
And that's, that. I mean, just, it's just so fun to watch. And it wasn't like they win every game 3-2. Yeah, they had a bunch of some walk-offs in there for sure. But, I mean, they're scoring a lot of runs in these games. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to see how many runs they scored in their total 9 wins out of the last 10 games. Well, nine,
they scored
11,
five or more in some ridiculous total, and they won every single one when they scored five or more. So they scored a lot, is the point. I mean, they scored a ton, maybe the most in baseball.
But this is the stretch we've been asking them to have. And if you have this type of stretch where you get a where you get 5, 6, 7, 8 games over 500, then, you know, yes, just win series. And you win series and you're good. And you're going to keep stacking to that win total away from 500, right? In a couple weeks when you were 8 games over, and if you keep winning series, you're maybe 11 over, right? And then it gets, it's just, then you're like, okay, you feel very comfortable here. And if you do lose a series, or you do lose 3 of 4, it's not like the end of the world, because you did have a very hot stretch to give you some distance and a little, a little bit of wiggle room. Not a lot. It's not like they're 20 games over.
No, but just four, like, over right now.
Like a little bit, a little bit. Now, I would feel much more comfortable if this team headed in the All-Star break 7 games over. But I'm definitely not sitting here complaining about what they've accomplished over the last week and a half plus to get themselves to the position they are right now after the up and down roller coaster first half of the season.
Let's get to this one from Carlos. Thank you, man. Guys, if you're here, subscribe. We have year-on content for Padres fans. We'd love to get to 6,500 subscribers with your help. We're approaching that, so please subscribe if you're here live or on replay. And thank you for the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Carlos, thank you again. He says, Carlos, he says Jackson Merrill is the truth, and he has been unbelievable. I've been saying this on a rise. I mean, he hasn't like completely gone in the tank, but I just looked it up. I think his last 47 at bats, he's hit .213. He's had various nagging injuries, sliding into bases, had a shoulder a while ago. You know his WAR on the season?
Arise. Like what? It's under 2, like a 1.5, I don't know.
1.0. And Machado's in that 0.6 range. So again, he's a singles hitter. He's,
you know what Merrill's is?
I would say Merrill's would be between 2.5 and 3 at this point.
Last I checked, it was 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's on that 5 pace, which is great. Amazing. Truthfully. But again, Arise is unfairly criticized for things like WAR because single hitters aren't rewarded for wins above replacement, but he has still hit well over 300 this year. I do agree that I don't know if he's not healthy, but he hasn't hit to the same clip that we saw earlier. He had a number of 4-hit games. It's been a little bit of time since we've seen that. He's a capable hitter. I think he's always going to come through with men on base. I really do. I feel like he's just capable of doing that. We've seen a lot so far this year. So I don't know what to say. He's hit .314 this year. He's hit again .213 in his last 47 ABs, but I'm confident that he'll eventually pull out of it. Maybe all these off days will help Luis Arise as well in July.
Yeah, I just think that July is such a crucial month for this team. More so off the field.
Get healthy.
Just get healthy. I mean, Arise could definitely use that all-star break. Profar definitely could, but he's not going to. He's going to be an all-star this year. Manny Machado could use time. I mean, frankly, everybody could use time. Like, they've played so many games consecutively without many off days. I think they had, we talked about it the other day, they've had 8 off days in the first half, and then they have 17 in the second half.
Including the All-Star break, yeah.
Like starting today. So tomorrow there's an off day. From July 1st to the rest of the year, they have like 17 off days, which is incredible, including the All-Star break. So yeah. What I do hope is if they do end the first half similarly to how they're playing now, which is really good baseball, and they get 7 games over, right? And they're going to have a lot of off days. Hopefully those off days don't create, like, not rust, but like a, I don't know how to just not rust, but what, John? Like,
well, I would say the my only concern with the days is if you're scorching into the All-Star break. I'm not worried about the days off. Yeah. But I'm worried. You're right. If you continue on this clip into the All-Star break, how many games are there, Jim, between now and
2, 10, 12? 3, 5, 8. Well, no, 3.
Is that all it is?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 10. 10, yeah.
I don't even think that's the right way. 3 Texas, 3 Arizona, 6. 8 with 2 more against Seattle, then 3 against Atlanta is 11. So let's say they doubled up this 9-2 and went 9-2 again. Shit. Then you're 18 and 4 over 22. Then I'd be like, stop. No, don't stop.
Keep playing.
But then again, also, you'd have so much equity to your point. If they truly did that, they'd be 7 more games over 500. They'd be 11 over into the All-Star break. They would clearly be a playoff team. They'd only be adding at the All-Star break. You'd have no questions about their legitimacy or their ability to hold on to a playoff spot. And I guess at that point, you would just live with any quote-unquote repercussions on the other side, like average play for a week or two, but they'd be 11 games over 500. So even 500 play would keep them in that spot. So again, do whatever you're capable of doing is what I would say into the All-Star break. And hopefully they do find a way to go something like 9-2 again. That would be incredible. That would be one of the best stretches in franchise history if they're 18-4 over a 22 game stretch.
And it would have happened at the like exact perfect time.
Yeah.
Exact perfect time. And you could afford a 3-6 road trip through
You're right.
Cleveland and Washington and Baltimore. Not like advising it, like, but you know, if this team's 500 and they had a 3-6 roadie out of the All-Star break, then you're like, shit, you know, like that'd be a massive road trip from all standpoints. If you entered that road trip at 500, you enter that road trip at, I mean, we're talking best case scenario here, 11 over.
That might even be a little.
I think it is too. But,
Again, 8 of those 11 games, Jim, are at home where they were playing really well the last time we saw them at home. Again, 9-2 is great play for any team in baseball, obviously. Who cares? Right. I mean, you go 8-3, you take it. 7-4, you take it. That gets you to 7 games over 500.
And that's kind of the mark. I'm like, they get to 7 over at the break after all the bullshit that's happened in the first half? I mean,
What's their record
credit
overall?
Credit to them, man. Credit to them.
That would be 99 games in. All-Star break for the Padres is 99 games, only 63 on the backside. So, like, you have told your story. You've played many more than you will play once you get to the 99 played, 63 remaining. To your point, you get there 7 games or better above 500, you should really like your chances. Let's get back to this in a moment. We do want to thank our title sponsor on the wrap-up show, our buddy Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. We can't do this without Mark. We can't do this without you guys. Everyone here live or on replay here tonight. He's a great insurance agent. How do we know it? We have insurance through him, homeowners and life insurance and earthquake insurance. And it's about more than just being an insurance agent. It's about great service and communication and saving you money. And he can do all of that for you. I had to file a claim a couple years ago. And he saved us so much time and so much money. I mean, truly dozens of hours and thousands of dollars is what Mark saved us. And he's a lifelong Padres fan, a native San Diegan. You can click the link in the description down below to get to his website. You see it on the screen. And he takes care of everything. Auto, home, renter's life. Just by switching, he could save you $750. He'll talk to you about the Padres. He'll talk to you about saving money. If you support the channel, support our title sponsor here on the wrap-up show since day one. That's Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance.
All his information in the ticker down below there, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. When you reach out to our buddy Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
Let's get to some of these supers that have rolled in. We have some updates as well on Xander Bogaerts, Luis Campusano, and others as the Padres, again, win a series in Boston, lose today. They're 46-42. Interestingly, Boston actually has a better record than San Diego. It didn't seem like that this weekend. Boston's 5 games over. The Padres are 4 over. John, thank you. He says, let's give some love to Higgy for stepping up this month. He's been incredible. That being said, we're in a good spot with X, U, and Tatis coming back soon. LFGSD. Okay, there's a good segue. X is going to begin a rehab assignment, Jim, which is kind of incredible. This is from Kevin. He's going to have a CT scan provided the healing has progressed sufficiently. Bogaerts is expected to begin a rehab assignment this week, with the hope of returning before the All-Star break. That's the update on Xander Bogaerts. And we have said, hey, don't rush. Everything's fine.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Yeah, we're good. But
Kevin says CT scan is next. He's been hitting. He's been fielding. He's been throwing. If the CT scan looks good, he will begin a rehab this week with hopes of getting back before the All-Star game 2 weeks from now.
It's wild. I don't know if you saw the picture. After today's game ended, Xander was the only person left in that visiting dugout on the top rail watching the Red Sox go through their handshake line. And I guess he waited for Cora and Devers, I think it was. Okay. And he gave him like a hat tip, I think, or acknowledged them or something. But he waited on the top step for the Red Sox to finish their handshake. Mm-hmm. And he obviously got the huge ovation. And we talked to Will Fleming on Friday, who's the Red Sox radio play-by-play man, and talked about how much he's beloved in Boston and how no one in Boston will ever say a bad word about Xander and how much Will loves Xander Bogaerts and just everything. I'm like, well, this is not how it is here. Now, again, when you have a huge contract, things change and expectations go through the roof. And if you don't perform right away, fans aren't going to particularly be in love with you, right? Like they're going to have, they're in like, a, hey, you got to show me and prove it to me before I fall in love with you like you were in Boston. But it was just a weird thing to hear Will Fleming on Friday talk about Xander like that. And I'm like, it feels like the complete opposite here. People are like, hey, take as much time as you need. If this team still wins and Donovan Solano's producing, like there's probably a lot of people out there that are thinking to themselves, Xander don't even come back because Xander wasn't doing anything in the first place when he was playing. Now he was getting hot before he got injured, or at least he was starting to heat up. But I don't know, man, when he gets back, doesn't it feel like he's going to have to play some really good baseball the remainder of the season?
Oh man. I feel like there's a lot of like interesting circumstances playing out with Bogaerts. You're right. Like probably in his own mind, what's happened since he's ended up here to coming off an injury that's going to change, by the way, his batting stance or swing, right? Because he's going to have to hold on to the bat with two hands. It's like Tatis dealt with earlier in his career because of a shoulder as well. I don't know what to expect, Jim. I mean, he wasn't doing anything before the injury. Am I expecting him to be better?
I know.
Do I think it's a clubhouse win because he is a leader? Yeah, maybe it is to get him back active. But again, this is a team that is fully rolling, even without like a Fernando Tatis Jr., but Tatis was performing and Bogaerts wasn't. So I'm like kind of scratching my head over it. I really don't know what to expect. I want to see him back. Nobody wants to see him out. I hope he can contribute in a meaningful way in the second half of the year. But I'll tell you this, I'm not thinking the second they activate this guy, all of a sudden he's going to carry a team because it's just, it's my last expectation. So hopefully though, with time, and if this team does get to 7-8-9 over the next month, maybe they'll get him in a spot where he is a key contributor at some point down the stretch. That would be my hope. Get him healthy, get him to be a key contributor down the stretch where you feel good about him, hopefully heading into September, dare I say October.
Because you got to think nothing's worse than watching your team play really good baseball without you, and then you get back in there after an injury and you suck it up, or you don't play as well as your replacement was playing, and you're not, the team isn't winning like they were when you were out. Dude, that must be a shitty, like, maybe I'm the problem type of thing, you know?
Well, that's like Tatis doesn't have better replacements ever, but the team always plays really well without Tatis. It's not because of Bryce Johnson, but the team has repeatedly played well in the absence of Tatis over the last few years. 2022 is a good example, and these last 10 days have been an amazing example of that. Now, again, I'll take my chances with Tatis over up the 2022 team, truthfully, and over the last 10 days with Bryce Johnson. Baseball's a weird game like that. I mean, you know, the Shohei Ohtani played a lot of games for the Angels. They didn't win. Same thing with Mike Trout. I mean, it's not as simplistic as that sometimes.
And I think it's pretty easy to, like, when Tatis missed the entire season, the team won 89 games. Who was the best player on that team? Manny Machado.
Manny Machado, yeah.
Tatis has been out for the last week or so. Who's been the best player or one of the best players on the team? Manny Machado. Interesting how that works when, like, Manny is the only guy in that lineup that is the superstar. Everyone looks to Manny, and everyone says Manny's the best player on this team. Manny's the guy. Manny's the man. Like, it's just interesting how that works with Manny when he's the only guy in that lineup not surrounded by Bogey or Tatis or Soto, and that's when he performs the best. Interesting.
No doubt about it. By the way, there's an update on Luis Campusano, which is he will appear in rehab games this week with hopes of returning to the active roster when the team returns home on Friday. Now, again, Higashioka has been so brilliant that you got to think he's getting a majority of the time, at least in the near term when Campusano returns. But Campusano hopefully is impactful. We know his bat has played before at the major league level. I think you're taking him over Brett Sullivan, although Brett Sullivan homered his second career home run the other day. But I think you're taking Campy over Sullivan, so you've got that. Now, the Darvish update. Do we have a Darvish update? Because he was supposed to begin throwing again, right? So I'm wondering when we see you, Darvish. That's a big question for me. Are we going to see him? When are we going to see him?
I don't know. Good question. Yeah, we have so many off days here that they'll figure it out, and they never like tell anybody anything. So it's like, oh, Darvish is back, you know?
Right.
Campusano, he's now the backup catcher for this team.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, yeah, lost your job. Because the other dude's been into home runs every game.
Right. You're not Manny, you're not Fernando, and frankly, not Xander either. Like, you're the backup catcher.
Dude, if Higashioka was the substitute for Bogarts, I'd be like, dude, chill. Because this guy's on such a heater that I have to play this guy.
You ride Higgy until the wheels fall off.
Just and pray if, every second or third day he's hitting a home run for as long as that's possible.
But you also have to make sure you don't drive him into the ground.
True,
and you do give
him every day.
You do give him some off days here, but
yeah, you have to.
If you play seven games in a week, five of those days are Higgy days. Right?
Yeah,
now.
I think so. But the thing is, they're never going to play more than six games in a week from here on out.
All right, so four of the six,
and maybe some weeks if he actually did continue this, then maybe he's getting five. If he actually continued to hit like this, Let's get to the super from Carlos. Thank you again, man. Appreciate you. He said heard Tatis out for 12 weeks. Source's girlfriend.
Which girlfriend?
An actual accurate tweet from Carlos or not? By the way, I wouldn't be overly surprised if someone told me it was prolonged because he said it would be. Well, after the All-Star break. Now, 12 weeks is a lot and jeopardizes the season for Tatis. It's been, what, a week? So, I mean, you're talking late September at 12 weeks. I'm hoping it's not that, but it sounds like it's going to be a real time. Six-plus weeks is significant. Will he look like the same player? Can they overcome it for that long a period of time, even though they've played so well right now? I hope it's not 12 weeks, but I'm expecting, GM, 6 weeks.
Look, according to my sources, a.k.a. WebMD, the timetable for Tatis was like 6 to 14 weeks. It's a long timetable.
Yeah, it's a long time. And it's a long time.
A big gap, but depending on the severity of a stress reaction, so you don't end up having to be a stress fracture. The timetable was 6 to 14 weeks. So 12 weeks, honestly, not surprising because you got was it last week you went on the IL, John?
Yeah, they were at home. They started walking off every day afterwards. What was it? It wasn't more than 9 days ago, something like that. 7 days ago? Was it this week? Was it Monday?
Monday? Dude, this whole week felt like forever.
I think it might have been Monday.
Okay.
If you know when he went on, I mean, for us, it's deja vu every day. I think it was after they lost to Milwaukee on the 23rd. Is that possible?
Okay. Monday.
Yeah, because remember he said we didn't have a spot to pinch hit him on the 23rd. So, and they lost. It was Monday. So he's been on the IL for 7 days.
My guess, and this is just with I don't know jack shit. I don't know anything. But
someone screen grab that.
I don't know anything. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him until the middle of August.
Yeah, which at this point isn't horrific, right?
That would be about 8 to 10 weeks, middle of August.
I mean, they're off six consecutive Mondays. They got three Thursday off days in there. They got the All-Star game. I mean, if you told me he's coming back for that August 16th series against Colorado, it's not even that many games. There's 21 games in July, and it's 33 games between now and then. 33 games between now and August 16th. That's not crazy. If he comes back before that, then yeah, he's missing somewhere between 25 and 33 games potentially. Again, it's it's a good number, but it's not crazy. It's not 80. It's not 100. So that's my guess. My guess is he misses another 25 to 33 games. Now, again, complete speculation. We have no idea. Like you said, if it's 12 weeks or longer, then it could be the middle of September or even later than that. But you know how professional athletes are. Typically, the timelines are shorter than what are expected, not longer. Although Tatis, of course, had 2022, which is an absolute disaster with injury, suspension, right? I mean, so you don't know with Tatis and how his body heals. That's one thing we certainly don't know with Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, he's just always injured. It just sucks. It sucks because
you know what's not always injured is the MOVAGLOBE.
Nope.
Okay. You're right. MOVAGLOBEs are available for loyal baseball fans, not just Padres fans. These spin on their own. The technology was invented right here in San Diego, Cardiff by the Sea, in fact, their founder. These are officially licensed for all 30 teams. They spin based on natural light or artificial light, and also because of magnets in the ball and magnets in the earth. We don't fully understand it, but it's one of the great things you've ever seen. We have these, obviously. My son thinks it's so cool. My wife does as well. It's a great desk piece. It's just a great home item is what it is, and it's just great for baseball fans. If you use promo code PWS10, you can click the link in the description down below, and you can see that they've got every single baseball team available to you if you use promo code PWS10. But wait, there's more, Jim. And the more is, well, hold on.
Stay informed.
Okay. It's the Corinna Nebula. Okay.
The Corinna Nebula.
The world famous Corinna Nebula. So they do more than baseball. They do like world globes and space globes. And I was laughed out of the room the other day because it's actually, I think, the Corinna Nebula, but I called it the Nebula. Mm. But like, look at this thing.
Dude, did you know, John, that the James Webb Telescope recently just took pictures of galaxies that are so far out of our universe and that it's basically we're watching the formation of the universe. Like the galaxy.
Don't believe you.
No, the galaxies are like 15 billion light years away, and it's like we're watching the formation of the universe from the Big Bang.
No, we're not. I'm watching Luis Campusano come off the IL, hopefully Friday, or Padres.tv with Mariluz Cruz and Mike Pomerantz and Don.
What does this mean for LeBron's legacy?
Yeah, exactly. So use promo code PWS10, guys. This is a super cool item. Again, officially licensed, whether it's a baseball globe or one of those James Webb globes, Earth globes. They've got all the planets. They have everything. Use promo code PWS10. You'll get 10% off. Click that link in the description down below. And MOVAGLOBEs, thank you for your support of the wrap-up show. What else? I don't know.
What is that comment for?
Which is all of them.
All of them.
I mean, honestly, I think there's a lot they could do with the globes. City Connect, player globes. Like, I could, like, what if this was like Manny Machado? Like, around?
Like, I don't know. Fucking head? What are you talking about?
Yeah, like his head or something, or like the team, like a team photo.
Someone put in the chat the other day, they needed like the picture of me blocking the Xander press conference on the back of my head, and like it's just like the globe is my head.
That'd be amazing. That'd be unbelievable.
I'd buy that in less than a second.
Speaking of MOVAGLOBEs, because Michael works with MOVAGLOBEs and is in the chat. Michael, appreciate you hanging out. Thank you for the super. And he wants to talk some baseball here, not just MOVAGLOBEs, but he says a confident, impactful, homegrown rookie is huge for us. I feel like you're talking about Jackson Merrill, potentially.
Not Bryce Johnson?
Yeah, who is not homegrown.
Who's not a rookie? Way, but,
it's kind of crazy. The Merrill and the Red Sox story, and his mom's there. We talked about this Friday. He's hitting home runs to her. And
amazing.
He's unbelievable. I mean, what else can you say about Jackson Merrill? Like you said, today they lose
3 for 4 today, by the way. I said 3 for 3. It was 3 for 4.
Whatever. I think it was 7. Would you say 7 for 13 in the series?
I missed an at bat. Sorry.
7 for 14 in the series, whatever it is. I mean, he's been incredible. And there's no reason to think he's not going to keep doing it this year, because 3 months is a long time. So what's another 3?
And like for him, I bet Manny looks at him and goes, man, it must be nice to be 21. Just literally every day you're rolling
healthy,
off
energetic,
pure adrenaline every day, and you can keep it up, and you're just going out there and you're just having fun, and you're roaming the outfield, making great catches like he did today. You know, the confidence is probably through the fucking roof right now.
Well, he's on a whole nother Nebula.
He is. He's on a whole nother Nebula. Just whatever he's doing, keep doing it. And I mean, he's been incredible. It's such a breath of fresh air for this organization to actually have a homegrown rookie come up and perform like this. Like, it's, and to be on a team that's actually, you know, has some postseason goals. You know, 20,
like, get to it.
Right. Yeah. Like 2019, when Toddy came up, that team was not thinking postseason. I know they were 500 at the break, but that team was not thinking postseason at all. No chance. And then he broke his back and he was done for the year. I think Merrill's almost played as many games as Tatis did in his rookie season.
Yeah, Tatis played 84 his rookie year. What's Merrill played?
Merrill's got to be in the 80s right now.
He's got to be in the 80s. I agree.
Merrill is right now 84 games. So there you go. 84 games.
Tied each other.
He has... here. He's got 11 doubles, a triple, 12 homers, 42 RBIs. He's hitting .294 with a .792 OPS. He's got a 2.5 WAR.
Is that good?
That's fucking
now, Toddy's 84. What was Toddy's 84 games WAR? I don't even know if we can look back. I'm somewhere it's available, yeah, this single season WAR, but
I don't know.
He had a 900 plus OPS, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know Toddy's WAR back then, but I can tell
it was
you
probably good.
I can tell you what his stats were. They're freaking really good. 84 games for Tatis in 2019. He had 13 doubles, 6 triples, 22 home runs.
And
he hit .317 with a .969 OPS, and he stole 16 bases.
Now, that's a true rookie MVP candidate if you stay healthy for .162.
Now, he only played 84 games, and he still finished top 3 in rookie of the year voting.
Amazing.
And it's like, man, can we just get one fully healthy Tatis year?
Honestly, dude, I don't know if we'll ever get the well-rounded year where he's stealing 33 bags and he's hitting 41 homers. I don't know. Those days maybe are done, which sucks for a 25-year-old, but like, you got to put this guy in like bubble wrap.
I mean, dude, this guy,
I think you're going to have to take away some of the tools. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to be 5 tools fully, because, well, one of the tools should be health, but another one of the tools is his ability to run. How many steals does he have this year, Jim? And again, he's been banged up all year with this freaking quad, leg, whatever.
He has 8.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, I thought at one point this guy would be like a 40-40 guy. Is he ever going to steal like 30 bases in a season?
Came close last year, stole 29 bases last year.
Okay. But don't you feel like it's just like a ticking, like he's just always injured?
I mean, last year, Toddy, like for his standards, it still wasn't like,
it was blah.
I mean, 30, but here's the thing though. When I read you these stats, you're like, not bad. I mean, 33 doubles, 33 doubles, 25 homers, 78 RBIs. 29 29 stole Nebula, didn't he? But you know, he hit .257 with a .322 on base and a .449 slugging. I don't know.
We don't know.
But like,
what was his OPS last year?
.771.
Give me a break. Come on, it was like big league average.
But it's just so, and it sucks for him because this is the narrative on Tatis, and he's got to have a big season again for that to kind of go away. But his first 3 years in the big leagues, He had a 969, a 937, and a 975 OPS. He slugged 590, 571, 611. Last 2 years, 449 slug, 468 slug this year.
Which is, not good enough, I guess, by his standards, what you're paying him. You're hoping he's a true run-producing middle-of-the-lineup threat, one of the top in baseball. And at times, he is that guy, and other times, he has not been that guy. And he's not fully healthy this year, and he still is able to do that. Does that make it more impressive? Could he go well beyond that with health? But then again, is he ever going to be healthy, or is there going to be something else next? He's had back, he's had shoulder, he's had wrist, he's had quad.
Yeah.
Is he breaking down at 25?
I don't know, man. But this is the thing, John. He's been like this since his rookie year.
I know.
So it's not
like he's in the minors.
You can't say he's breaking down at 25 because
he broke down at 17.
Exactly.
So it's true.
Yeah. But they're going to need him. They will definitely need him and make sure to get him as healthy as possible for the stretch run. And even if he plays for a month and a half, which would be, I think, pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty close to healthy. Do you take it? You take it and you hope that he can get hot and you hope that he can finally play healthy. But if not, it's going to be tough.
The Slick Rick 074, thank you for the super chat. Might be a super sticker. Doesn't show up in our software. We do appreciate your support of the channel. Guys, if you are here live or on replay, a lot of you guys are going to be watching our replay on Monday. Please subscribe. We are approaching 6,500 subscribers with your help, which is an amazing accomplishment. Thank you, Padres fans, baseball fans, for doing that. So please subscribe. We have year-round content, the home of real Padres talk, as we always say. Also, thank you for the super chats and the super thanks if you're here on replay. Super chats, just click the dollar sign below the chat box like Mauricio just did. And thank you, Mauricio, for the super. He says, interesting discussion on the Manny Tatis superstar competition and team performance. Aren't they best friends, bros, too? I don't think so.
No.
Nor does Jim. Now, it's an interesting conversation about how Manny goes about his career or like how Manny's career has played out to Tatis. Tatis is a shooting star. Like when he's on the field, it's usually an ascent by and large. If you look at his career, Manny's had a roller coaster, but plays. Tatis, when he does play, has historically good numbers. If you looked at his numbers through games played in his career, they're basically historically good from Fernando Tatis Jr. But the fear with me for Tatis is we're going to look at his career when he's 35 and be like, man, what if? Which is the worst thing to say about an athlete. The thing with Manny, the one thing we might say is like, he was a great player, but did he ever win as a team? Was he ever like that team guy to lead a team to a World Series? We don't know the answer to that right now. But no, I think if you hear Tatis talk about guys like Jackson Merrill and others, it feels like his relationship with some of his teammates is actually a lot better than it is with Manny Machado. That's my speculation. I think you agree.
I just think that Tati can relate better with Jackson Merrill. They're closer in age. I think that alone is enough to relate more to a guy.
Yeah, position. They're both in the outfield. They spend time next to each other now.
And I think it just feels like Manny, he just wants to be the guy and he doesn't want anybody to take away his, shine or whatever. It just feels like Manny is like, everybody should be talking about me. I'm the man. I'm the best player on this team. I'm the $350 million player. I'm the guy that leads this team. I'm the captain. And when he goes out there and he performs, or he goes out there and there's no one else around him, it does kind of feel weird how he performs when those things happen. Like when he does not have Tatis or Bogarts or Soto around him, and then he goes and has an MVP year in 2022. And then this year, in the last couple of weeks, he has been the guy. He's been the man. It's interesting, but I don't even think they're like, I think they're obviously like clubhouse cordial and friends in the clubhouse. And
yeah, I think they're definitely friendly. I just don't know if they are the closest of friends.
And I don't think he's being like, hey, you want to go to dinner tonight? Like, I just don't think that's the case.
I mean, I'm sure they have done dinner over the years. I would hope over 6 years. I mean, they've
just them two.
But again, I would have to think they have, Jim. I'm serious.
You think he's
freaking Machado's got this Coronado home? He hasn't had Tatis over.
Just Tatis
in 6 years? Come on. Come on.
Over, under 1.5 times.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. I don't know. But I don't. I don't think they dislike each other. I just don't know if they. The thing that happened in St. Louis, where they then spoke to the media like it happens, like brothers fight type thing. I haven't really felt the brotherly love afterwards. Like, if brothers fight, why has it felt only kind of cordial? Is there any moment? Tell me if I'm missing something. Is there any moment since the fight in St. Louis, or whatever the spat? I don't want to call it a fight because it really wasn't, but it was a fight. It was an argument. It played out. Has there been any moment that has been like, wow, what an incredible display by those two and those two alone to show you what type of unique and special relationship they have? Am I missing something? Is there something that has played out with those two alone that would lead you to believe that their relationship is like beyond break?
No.
Or forged or bonded together? I don't sense it. Now, we're not in the clubhouse every day, so... But we know people that are, and I don't think that the common thought is that these guys are the best of friends. Now, their lockers are next to each other at home.
Was Toddy invited to Hosmer's wedding?
I think so, definitely.
Was he there?
Yeah, because he had him on his podcast. You don't have that dude in your podcast and not invite him to your wedding.
I'm just asking a question. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure. I kind of remember.
I know Manny was Manny was Hosmer's best man.
Is that right?
Or he was in the wedding party. I don't know if he's the best man, but he was in the wedding party. I know that.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, they have handshakes, but he's got a Tatis has a handshake with Tyler Wade.
Yeah,
you know,
Tyler Wade's not part of the gig.
That's called Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. They're cordial and they're friendly in the clubhouse. And when they're winning, everybody likes each other. There's nobody that doesn't like each. You know, maybe they might have like some eye roll moments, but like.
Now, again,
outside of the locker room of the clubhouse, like, I don't think they're hanging out.
I don't know, but I will say this. One thing we should like reference, but their lockers are next to each other.
True.
They're not separated. They are next to it. Now, maybe that's for look, but I mean, they truly sit next to each other every day at 1:14 in the afternoon and then at 2:52 and 3:59. I mean, think about that. There's a lot of time that you're going to be in there and they're next to each other a lot. For whatever that's worth, doesn't mean they're the best of friends, but it's not like they're on opposite sides.
But you know,
of the clubhouse.
But you know who, and you've heard it. Like the guy that Tatis has been gravitating towards the most has been Luis Ariz.
Yeah, well, you know, because he wants to probably be Luis Ariz with his like bat to ball ability,
and also, I mean, Jerkson Profar and Jackson Merrill. Like those,
he loves Profar, obviously.
Loves Profar, loves Jackson Merrill. That feels like a click. Like a click of Toddy, Profar, Jackson Merrill, and Luis Ariz.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Manny's in too. I don't know. But like, I can tell. Like, those are the four guys that are pretty much all bros. Those guys are bros in that clubhouse.
Yeah, Manny's just, I don't know. He's unique to himself, I feel like. Manny's just Manny. It's Manny. I think he's unique. If you've watched him the 6 years in the Padres uniform, he's... Unlike other players that have been here before, he's just unique. I think he's a unique player. All right, we do want to remind you about our partner here on the wrap-up show, Underdog Fantasy. They've got a special offer for you right now. If you use promo code PADSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP, you're getting a 50% deposit match up to $250 plus a free special pick. It is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. You can click the link in the description down below. Remember to use promo code PADSWRAP. You can play Pick'ems across all sports, Major League Baseball, WNBA, college football, NFL coming back, obviously, within the next couple of months. You can play across sports. You can play just one game, Padres Rangers, on Tuesday. Before you play the Pick'em, simple higher or lower contesting, use promo code PODSWRAP. Take advantage of that first-time deposit offer up to $250, plus you're getting a free special pick. If you haven't played, you need to do it today. Click that link down below. Use promo code PODSWRAP and you can win money like Jim Russell has been winning.
And like John Schaefer's been winning. Even right. Though he
I don't win $10. As much as Jim. Yeah, I went $20.
Yeah. Scan the QR code right there above me right there. Say there, whatever.
Are you talking?
I don't know, dude. Never mind. I think I'm drunk.
Did you drink?
Scan the QR code. Download the Underdog Fantasy app. Use promo code PODSRAP when you download Underdog Fantasy, and you are underway.
Tuesday in Arlington, TBD Nathan Eovaldi. Who's TBD for the Padres? Why would they be TBD? That's what the app shows.
Well, you have potentially Yu Darvish.
Well, Randy Vasquez took the ball off his arm. When was that?
That was Friday night.
Okay, so it's not him.
But you have potentially Yu Darvish.
Is he throwing a bullpen?
You also are dealing with a situation where they might change some things up because of the off day.
Yeah, you could go with a four-man rotation.
I don't know. I don't know what Schulte's going to do.
Whatever Schulte does is going to be right. I know that.
Oh.
Wow. Fighting words from Tyler M.
When is Jim giving
Schulte credit? Schulte deserve any credit here?
I've said this, and we've both said it. We both don't have really much any problem with his managing style and what he has done on the field, in between the lines, how he calls games, how he manages his bullpen, a few here and there. But there's been really no discussion on the wrap-up show this year at all about egregious mistakes that Schulte may have made or perceived
like
made
one or two times.
And we have both praised Schulte for being a pretty darn good manager. Maybe not like the upper echelon. That's TBD, but like he's serviceable. He's fine. He's good. He's getting the job done. These guys like him a lot. I mean, it was interesting what Will Fleming said to us on Friday about maybe Schulte, the different voice of the team, this team needed. It's always weird how this team every couple of years just needs a new voice. Like it's just
like every year.
It's just very weird how that happens. Anyway. So from that standpoint, like, yeah, Schulte's got, give credit to Schulte. Absolutely. The things that me and John, mostly me, can't stand is Schulte's post-game pressers when he's speaking to the media about, you know, hey, let's shout out this guy that had a hustle in the ninth inning. Let's shout out this guy for throwing a great slider in the ninth inning. Schulte, you lost 9-1. Like, those are the types of things that I'm like, but I guess it plays with the team, and so be it then. If that kind of stuff this team needs because they need massaging, because they have such fragile egos in that clubhouse that they need their manager to always be positive, or maybe that's just Schulte and it just works with this team, right? And so be it. And if they win, it doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is winning. But when they lose and Schulte goes off on these crazy like rants about how great they are, I'm like, show me it. And they're showing it right now. Now keep it up.
I like that. Did you see the quote from Orsillo, masslive.com? I saw it on social media. So, right, Xander returns to all the hoopla. There was a lot of, I think, excitement for Red Sox fans for Don Orsillo, who hasn't essentially called a game there since leaving for San Diego because he was essentially, I don't know, forced out, fired, whatever it was. Wasn't fired, renewed.
I think it was fired.
Yeah, you know, they didn't renew his contract. Dave O'Brien stepped in, ESPN broadcaster, he's still there. But like Orsillo was kind of beloved. They had multiple World Series in his time. He grew up a Red Sox fan. His first time at Fenway Park was in 1978, right?
Yeah.
So this is what he said about not having divided loyalty to masslive.com. He says this: I believe when you're fired from a team, you lose your allegiance to that team as far as caring whether they win or lose. That was part of the deal. If I'm out, so are they. I can't be a fan of someone who's not a fan of mine. You're going to like someone who despises you or replaces you? I couldn't do it. My allegiance had to end, especially where I went to another franchise where I'm invested. That fandom ended. Now my love for the Bruins, Celtics, and Patriots has not changed. They didn't fire me.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense.
I'd feel the same way. I'm not part of a company anymore. I mean,
so if you get fired by... You've already been fired, haven't you, like three times or
no? No. But like, I'd root for certain people. Like, I'm sure up until maybe a couple of years ago, Don rooted for some players that were still on that team while he was there.
Bogarts, if he was still there, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But as far as the team goes, I think he's like, fuck you guys. I don't give a shit. Like,
apparently.
You guys lost me? Screw you guys. And I completely understand. And I would 100% be the same way.
Yeah, I mean, what's he going to say, by the way? And he works for the Padres. He's going to be like, you know what? I love the Red Sox, except for when they play the Padres. I mean, no, you can't say you love the Red Sox. Anyway, and how could he? To your point, how do you get rid of this beloved broadcaster that had been there for a long time? They multiple World Series under kind of his like tenure. I know he's not calling the World Series on TV, but it's national, but it was a very bizarre situation all around. So thankfully, he landed in a spot like San Diego, where he's become beloved here. That's not easy to do, be beloved in two different, like, think about that, two different markets, two different cities, and you're going to go down with a legacy in both of them. I think Red Sox fans absolutely adore him. I think Padres fans absolutely adore Don Orsillo. Like, there's not a lot of guys that have done that. There are, but there's not a ton of guys. So that's pretty unique for Orsillo.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good legacy to have. You're beloved by two different fan bases. Like, it's pretty damn pretty. That's pretty good.
He's only, he was born in 68. I'm just looking up his age. He's going to turn 56 in December. He's young. I mean, he could be the voice of the Padres another 15, 20 years, truthfully.
Totally. Easily, yeah.
You know, which is crazy. Which is crazy. All right. I think that's going to do it for tonight. We're an hour in. You can join us tomorrow on San Diego Sports 760, free iHeartRadio app. Find John and Jim on YouTube. We've got a channel for our radio show, 3 to 6 in the afternoon. We'll break down this weekend against the Red Sox. We'll look ahead to this upcoming week in Arlington against the Texas Rangers. Updates on all these players that have been out, Yu Darvish, Fernando Tatis Jr., Luis Campusano, you know, whomever else, Sander Bogaerts, if I didn't mention him, and others. So join us tomorrow at 3 p.m. And then, of course, we'll be with you Tuesday night for the next wrap-up show. That's because the Padres don't play on Monday. So we'll have a wrap-up show for you on Tuesday as well. We're pushing 6,500 subscribers, folks, with your help.
We're getting close
by the day. So please subscribe. I don't know what we really have for you, but please subscribe. We have year-round content for Padres fans. That's what we have for you.
We don't know what we have for you, but subscribe.
But I mean, we have content for Padres fans year round, and we are the home of real Padre talk. That is the reason to subscribe, and because you like us. So subscribe, smash the like button, follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD, or you hate us, subscribe. If mostly you watch
me.
Us,
mostly hate me.
Thank you for the super thanks as well. And we appreciate your support of our partners, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance, Mova Globes. Again, use promo code PWS10, PWS10 for 10% off, and Underdog Fantasy, use promo code PODSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP. You can click the link in the description down below or scan that QR code. Pretty cool, Tyler. Oh, Profar. Vote.
Tolerate.
Better. Exactly.
There you
exactly.
Go.
Right. Yep. Yes, vote.
Cool. Vote.
All right. For Jim, I'm John. We'll see you guys tomorrow on the radio at 3 p.m. And appreciate it. Subscribe.
Go Chonklas.
That's right.